Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
At least in John's Gospel, this is a pivotal, perhaps the pivotal moment before Jesus is crucified. It comes in John's Gospel near the end of his ministry. Jesus intentionally, or so it appears, intentionally permits his friend, his beloved friend Lazarus, to die of some illness. And then, having raised him from the dead, the plot to kill Jesus is firmly in place. So why? In the world, everyone's asking the question, whether it be the two sisters, Mary and Martha, or the Jews who were there at the tomb after Lazarus had died, why did he allow the man who could make blind men see, why did he allow Lazarus to die of an illness? Why didn't he heal him and prevent the death? Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to talk about the raising of Lazarus. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Thank you.
Why does Jesus permit him to die? Why doesn't he prevent Lazarus's death?
Oh, that's at the heart of this, isn't it? This moment of tension in the story, because we understand how close Jesus was to this family of two sisters and a brother. And yet he waits, he pauses, and he knows full well that that he's going to die and that he does die. But Jesus, he says his reason, and he tells his disciples, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. He's got a purpose in showing them just who he is. This is another opportunity through a miracle, the greatest of all miracles, to bring back someone who has died, to bring them back to life. And so all of this story, in lots of ways, John shows us that Lazarus was really dead, not just a little dead, not maybe he's dead, maybe he's not, but truly, completely, utterly dead physically, as in a way that no one would have a question about it. And then Jesus steps on the scene, and by doing that, really shows who he is, the power he has, a power that anyone watching would have to say, believer or not, this can only be from God. He raised someone from the true dead. no question about what happened here, and it was all about to bring glory to God and to point people to who Jesus was for them.
We've heard something like this, in fact, I think it was last week, mm-hmm. when Jesus heals the blind man, the question is posed, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus' response is, it is not that this man or anyone else sinned, but so that the glory of the Son of Man might be manifested in him. So he's talking again about this glory.
Yes, he is. And we're getting closer. You know, it's just no accident that we're studying these lessons in Lent as the church reads them, as the gospel readings in this season of Lent. This is the great buildup and part of his journey to the cross that really began when he was baptized in the Jordan, and many various miracles and teachings, and the intensity is growing, and you know, to raising someone from the dead. But the same thing, to point out who Jesus is, who the people are, what their need is for this Savior, and that he is exactly that. He's using this illness, as he did with the healing of the blind man, to his own glory and to reveal himself as the resurrection and the life, what he's been saying all along. in it to bring people to faith.
Tell us the story so that we have the fuller context. It is one of those big John stories, like the healing of the blind man. It's a big John story.
Yeah, 45 verses in John chapter 11. And it's one that, you know, a lot of us have grown up hearing. It's a powerful story. And you have Lazarus, the brother of the two sisters, Mary and Martha. Those are those same two sisters that were fussing and sparring over what should be done when Jesus comes to their home. You know, the one sits at his feet and the other one's upset because she's busy in the kitchen alone. It's that same family, and the text here really indicates a closeness between Lazarus, Mary, Martha with Jesus. There's a friendship, a closeness there. So, when Lazarus is ill, the sisters send for him, like we might send for our pastor when somebody is gravely ill in our home. I've grown up with my family doing that. Well, pastor is one of the first people we call, and that's what they do. And Jesus then tells his disciples, who he's with, this is not going to lead to death. It's for the glory of God. And then the text emphasizes, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So then it's followed by, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, yes, he loved him, he stayed another 2 days where he was. It's kind of a, what's going on here? And that is what starts the questioning. Then he says to the disciples, we're going to go back into Judea. Now, he had just been under attack there. They were planning to stone him. They were seeking to put an end to this prophet that was a threat to the religious leaders. And the disciples remind him of that. And Jesus, you know, says, no, we're going to, this is what we have to do. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. And then tells them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And the disciples immediately think, like most of us, well, if he's asleep, he'll get up. He'll get better, nothing to worry about. And then Jesus has to say, no. He's dead. He's not just asleep. He's dead, fully dead. Then he says, you know, for your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there when he died, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So now Jesus is, his reason for holding off is becoming clear. I wanted him to die so that you could see what I could do. Thomas tells them, you know, let's go, that we may die with him. And they come and they find that Lazarus has not only died, but he's been in the tomb 4 days. And that's significant in this era. There was a thought or a belief that perhaps the soul of a departed one doesn't leave the body for 3 or 4 days after the death. And so, you know, there might be a chance that they could come back alive. So to wait the 4 days means, you know, in everyone's mind, truly dead, soul departed, you know, nothing's going to fix this. And Jesus does this by intent. Martha comes, hears that he's coming, and goes out to meet him and utters these words, you know, Lord, if you had been here. She believes in him, but she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, believing that he could have prevented the death. And then she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. So she's asking him to call on his father, and believes that something can be done. And Jesus simply answers, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he'll rise at the resurrection and on the last day. And Jesus, then these beautiful words, he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. So he takes her eyes off of the last day and the promises of that, which are true for them and for us, and puts her focus squarely on Jesus as the one who brings about these things, the one who restores life, who gives life. And he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? And she proclaims, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Lines that we've all memorized. There's so many verses in this John chapter 11 that are good to write on our hearts. Then she calls her sister and tells her that the teacher is here and he's calling for you. And then she runs out, and the Jews who were there, people gathered around the home, they go with her. They're consoling her, and they follow her, thinking she's going to the tomb. But she comes to where Jesus is and falls at his feet and says the same thing, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus then shows that he's greatly moved by the situation. His dear friend has died. His sisters are in deep, deep grief, and these are people he loves and cares about, and it's obvious that he's upset by the situation and troubled. And he says, "Where have you laid him?" And then they said, "Come, Lord, and see." And then that verse that we all know so well, because it's only two words, Jesus wept. And then he goes to the tomb, and the rest of the story we know. He raises him, calls him forth from the tomb, "Lazarus, come out," after he prays to his father very visibly so they can all see.
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, some might wonder, why is Jesus crying at the tomb when he knows full well what he's there to do, when in the very next breath he is raising Lazarus from the dead? It goes to the question of how our Savior deals with death and how he deals with it not only as divine, but also as fully human. We'll be right back.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc. Coming Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 8th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 9th. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, April 8th, and Saturday, April 9th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
Welcome back. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 6th. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We'd heard the story. It's curious, Pam, that he weeps. He seems rather serene about the whole death issue up to this point. And then when he actually gets to the tomb, to the grave, then with all those who are there mourning, Jesus weeps as well. What does this say about our Savior and how he deals with death as both God and man at the same time?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it really gets to both his natures, the divine and the human. You see his full humanity in that his dear friend has died and his dear friends are in grief and the pain that comes with the death of a loved one. He's compassionate for that. He sees it, and Jesus, who loves us, who loved us so much that he gave his own life on the cross for us, doesn't want us ever to be in sorrow or grief. And these are his dear friends, and this is troubling to him and causes him sorrow. But this is also the Son of God, true God, and yet man, and God, who is very the opposite of what it is to be God, is this death that has taken this man. This is why Jesus has come, to bring life. Death isn't normal or natural in any way humanly, but it is also the thing that God absolutely hates more than we do. He hates that death entered the world, and it is by God's love and mercy for us that he sends his Son to take care of death. So on both levels, divine and human, we see the compassion of our Lord that he shares with his dear friends at the death of someone. It's not right. This shouldn't be. And he's come to take care of it. Not only is he sorrowful and weeps with them, but he comes to bring life for them.
It's I think, a mistake on our part, and I'm sure you would agree, to view Jesus in this very dispassionate way that he's often been depicted in art and elsewhere, the Jesus who is unmoved by the human experience, not only that of others, but of himself. And not only that his friend has died, but it seems to me that here's a good place to say Jesus deals with death in its reality. This isn't a concept to him. This is a reality that he himself, he knows, will pass through himself for all of us.
That's right.
And it's not as though, you know, it's more than just Jesus feels their pain. This is Jesus knows what he's dealing with better than anyone standing there. He knows what he's dealing with.
That's exactly right. He gets it fully, completely, and he knows that this is the road he's headed down, because he will die, truly, utterly, completely die for all of us, to pay for our sins. He knows that's coming, and he knows it's coming for him. And I guess I don't understand how people can think of him as dispassionate, because you see in so many ways how he understood that the crowd in front of him were hungry and said, let's give them some food. Here he weeps with the sisters and the other mourners. He understands the blind man's need. This is a God of mercy and compassion so great that he gives his own life to take away our sorrow, our suffering, our sin, and our death.
And then it says again in verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again.
Interesting that John takes pains to describe this and to lay this down in the text for us. You know, we've talked about how much God hates death and laments that we're subject to it, but more than just feeling sorry for it, here we see Jesus entering time and space actually to do something about it. So he's not just there to feel sorry, to be moved, but he is engaging in really what is the most valiant battle to liberate us. He's going to liberate Lazarus, but this is all about what he's going to do for all who believe, to liberate us from death. You know, here he commands the stone to be moved from the cave, and here are some foreshadows, aren't they, of Easter. Our Lord will be buried in a cave with a stone to cover the opening, and there is Lazarus, And the sisters object, whoa, you know, you don't want to do that. 4 days in the grave, this is going to be stinky. The body's starting to decay. They all realize that, and because they didn't embalm their dead. And Jesus doesn't let that stop him. He's come to conquer death. And that's what this is all about. And it's this foreshadowing of the greater conquering of death of Jesus himself dying and then rising from the dead. But he does this in real time, real space, with real people. And this isn't hocus pocus or some wish or some esoteric belief in some sort of resurrection down the road. It's for real. Dead people come alive.
So after he is raised, the reaction of his adversaries, and we hear more about it later in John's gospel, is to resolve once and for all, not only to desire that he be dead, but to resolve once and all that he must die. And I cannot help but think that this is exactly what Jesus wants to happen. He's inviting his enemies to do what they're going to do.
Yes. And the text beyond verse 45, where our Sunday school lesson ends, the text gets into that and points to that and makes that clear. This is all about ordering things so that he can fulfill his mission, why he was sent to be God incarnate, to be dwelling among us. And that was always from that little scene in the manger, the baby Jesus that we all think is so warm and cuddly. His coming then is for that single moment of him being nailed to a cross, suffering and dying, and then rising again. That's what all of his life as one of us here on this earth was about. And foretaste of it, foreshadow, and increased intensity. We've had the teachings, we've had miracles, major and minor, but, you know, you don't get any more major than conquering death, bringing a dead person back to life, and he does it. And in all of it, he's showing his connection with the Father, intentional that he says, before he does the healing, which he could have done on his own, he's God, but he looks to the Father, he prays to him out loud so the people can hear and see his communication with the Father, both to help us know who he is and to also show us that we can have the same communication as children of God with our Father. We pray to him and he hears us. And then he shouts in a loud voice, the text says, "Lazarus, come out." And we have that wonderful moment.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. That's exactly what it will help you and the kids of your congregation do. Grow in the true Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Find out more about Growing in Christ. Even get a sample of Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, and ask about Growing in Christ. Pam, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The thing we need to understand about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is that he's not just demonstrating his power. That is obvious. He can raise the dead. He does it more than once. Lazarus isn't the only person that Jesus raises from the dead. What Jesus is doing here is foreshadowing his own death and his own resurrection. That's why he waits a couple days. That's why he lets Lazarus linger in the tomb dead, not only to demonstrate that he can raise a dead man, but to demonstrate and foreshadow the fact that he will ultimately conquer death permanently in his own death and his own resurrection, a death that will count for every man, woman, and child who has ever lived, in a resurrection that will promise resurrection to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Lazarus was raised, and then he died again, because this resurrection was only a small r resurrection. Jesus will be raised, never to die again, and will seal for you and for me and for Lazarus and for all who die believing in him our permanent resurrection from the dead once and for all. And just as Jesus went to stand at the tomb of his beloved friend Lazarus, and standing there at that tomb, call him forth by name so that he would live again after death, so at the same way, Jesus will stand at my tomb and your tomb, and he will call you and me by name out of our graves to live again forever. It's not just about demonstrating power over one man's death. It's about taking into himself the death that all of us deserved and conquering that once and for all in his resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin, hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.